Lately. The biggest thing on our mind right now, if you're thinking current events, is not Tom Daschle. It's actually the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm from Illinois.
Right. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers having won the Super Bowl last night.
Can I move the paper?
It's mine. Just keep it going. And next week, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I will keep you posted. Please check your email this Friday on the weekly email that the Kol sends out, because this shiur is being taught jointly between myself and Rabbi Tzvi Engel from Or Torah. So it is very likely, although it may be delayed by several minutes next week because Rabbi Engel's commitments in Skokie, but he will likely be giving the shiur next Monday night here as well, which is a big treat for everybody who will be here in West Rogers Park. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to hear the new rabbi of Or Torah. He's fabulous. So I will not disclose the topic as yet, because I spoke to him about it this morning. We just have to nail down all the details. So keep your eyes out on the email come Friday, Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, so the Super Bowl involves many shilas, huge shilas. Last night at Or Torah, the rabbi was away, so I spoke about an important shaila, Halacha L'maisa, which we're not going to talk about now, although after having spoken about it last night, I thought maybe we could have, which is a shaila called Shinui Makom when it comes to brachos. Just be aware. Let's say, Lu Yitzuyer, you're eating dinner in the dining room, and you're watching the game in the living room. Is there a problem to stop in the middle of eating and move to the living room to watch the game? Then when the commercials come on, or better yet, when the game comes on, you go back to eat, then you go back to watch the commercials. Is there an issue of moving from one room to the other in regarding Hilchos Brachos? So that's what I spoke about last night. I think it's interesting, Shaila. It's important to keep in mind you have to make a new Bracha Rishona when you move from one place to another place. Very interesting questions. I'm not going to deal with that. I didn't say whether you do or you don't. It's going to be different, like you said. If you make amotzi, if you have mezonos, if you have shahakol, that's not the topic of tonight. It's just food for thought. Next time you're watching, or if you don't have a television, let's assume nobody has television, you have a two-way radio. You're sitting like FDR next to listening to the fireside chats, listening to President Obama. So what I wanted to talk about tonight was a different shiloh. Let's say, Lu Yitzuyer, I got tickets to the Super Bowl. That would have been fabulous, wouldn't it? Let's say I had tickets to the Super Bowl. And my question is the following. I got tickets to the Super Bowl. Tickets to the Super Bowl are very expensive. But the good news is, I got a ticket. But let's say that my ticket, the Super Bowl last night was played in?
Tampa.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Current events. People know what's happening. In Tampa Bay, Florida. Let's say, and I believe the place is called Raymond James Stadium, if I'm not mistaken. Let's say I got a seat in the way, way, way nosebleed section, like where the blimp is, where the Budweiser camera is, all the way up there. And I'm sitting up there, and you know, first of all, I have oxygen because it's so high up. It's like thousands of feet in the air. And I see down below, mamish, 10 rows up at the 50-yard line, I see there's the empty seat.
Lamalo?
I'm thinking to myself, why should I sit here with an oxygen mask in the, you know, in the bleachers if there's an empty seat? Mustama, the person who was going to sit there, he had some kind of bad accident, thank God, so I'm going to sit there. Is there any halachic issue with moving down from the Super Bowl ticket that I bought way up yonder for $50 to down to the $900 ticket that's on the ground floor? So I'm not the first one to raise this shiloh. If you open up to page one of your packet, this was already asked in a Shiloh Sechuvah's New York Times. The New York Times has a column called The Ethicist. Now, I'll give you a caveat right now. Nobody passes shilohs in the Orthodox community based on The Ethicist. Okay, let's just keep that in mind. However, it's always interesting to see what the tshuvas are going around out there in the field. So, you know what? Does somebody want to read this interesting shiloh that came up to the ethicist several years ago? There you go, Mrs. Gertzuran.
Okay, verify. My dad takes me to a lot of baseball games and always buys the cheapest tickets in the park. When the game starts, he moves to better unoccupied seats, dragging me along. It embarrasses me. Is it okay for us to sit in seats we didn't pay for? George Murphy, age 11, Houston.
So this is shiloh halacha l'maisa. This could have gone to your local Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Metanke, Rabbi Engel. It went to the ethicist, Randy Cohen, who's obviously Jewish. I mean, believes something.
He quoted Rabbi Gannett yesterday.
What's that?
Randy. He quoted Rabbi Gannett.
In what context?
Yesterday, the ethics, and I'm tired. I'm telling
wild.
You. But he did it yesterday.
Okay. The next word is your. I lost the Y there. Your. Go ahead, Mrs. Gertz.
Your dad's seed hopping is more than okay. It is a time-honored baseball tradition. He hurts no one, and it would be foolish to let good seeds go unused when they can bring joy to fans who would otherwise be way out in left field. Should I go on?
Yeah, let's go on.
This is not how your Houston Astros see it, however. At Enron Field, all seats are reserved. You may sit only in the one you paid for. Latecomers don't like asking people to move out of their seats, explains John Sorrentino, vice president for ticket sales. It makes them uncomfortable. A feeble justification. At the theater and the opera here in New York, it is customary to switch to a better unoccupied seat. If the ticket holder arrives, he politely asks you to move and you courteously comply. Surely Texans can do the same.
So the first argument here, the first discussion between the Shoel and the Meshiv being Randy Cohen here, he says the Enron people say the Enron Field, Mistama, now it's not called Enron Field. This was from a few years ago, unfortunately. Oy vey. Latecomers don't like asking people to move, so the stadium doesn't allow it. For at least this is the first reason. And he says, so what? People don't mind. Okay? Another one.
But Sorrentino has another rationale. There tend to be different people in different seating areas, he says. If someone pays $200 for a seat and people with $5 seats are sneaking down there, it distracts them from their enjoyment. That is, uptown swells don't like to sit near bleacher riffraff. The view is contemptible. People from all walks of life sharing a common experience is one of the things that makes baseball our national pastime. The Astros' policy turns the amiable populism of the ballpark into a series of gated communities.
Okay, let's do another paragraph.
Sorrentino notes that attending an Astros game is voluntary. If you choose to do so, you must follow the rules. True, but you and your dad had no say in devising those rules, and the Astros' monopoly in Houston means you have no other major league alternatives.
All right, let's hold it right there. So this is the bottom line is, if you were to ask the show, the viewer of the Shoel, the ethicist says, safer out. Safe or out?
Safe.
Safe. Safe. Absolutely safe.
Shuvot Arkohe.
Yes. However, this is not the only and perhaps a binding source on matters of halacha. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's begin in the Gemara. It's actually... even though the Gemara is in Baba Kama, source 1, it actually is in the bottom of Chaf 20a. The Gemara says, I'm reading you for you from a story from the Gemara in the bottom of Chaf Mar Aleph. You've got it there in source number 1. Amalei Rav Chisda L'Rami Bar Chama Lo Havis Gabon Be'urta B'tchuma D'Iboy L'Mi D'Ma'al Yasa. You weren't here in the Beis Medrash last night. There was a fantastic Shaila, a big question that came up. And the question that came up is going to have exact ramifications on our Shaila about moving down in the stadium. What was the Shaila? Omar, my mi'ili ma'al yasa, top of the line in your source. What was the great thing that was asked? Amalei. Hador b'chotzer chaveiro shalomi daito sorech l'ha'alos lo schar o ein sorech. If I live in your house without your knowledge, do I have to pay you rent or not? I'm a squatter on your property. You have no knowledge of it. 2 weeks later, you come back. Let's say you went to Florida. You come back to your house and say, lo and behold, look at that. You've been living in my house 2 weeks. Pay rent. And you say, you didn't know anything. Didn't hurt you. I didn't damage the house in any way. And obviously, we're talking a case where you didn't use the electricity, the water. You didn't blacken the walls. You didn't step on the carpet. Somehow you set up a tent in their backyard, and it was the wintertime, the grass wasn't growing anyway, and the guy says, pay rent, you say, ma pitum.
Chatzar here refers to the house, or refers just to the outside area?
So, the truth is, it doesn't really matter, because if it's your property, so it's going to be the same for everything. If I damaged it, so then obviously I have to pay. If I used it and it somehow it diminished the value, so I have to pay as any mazik would, as any ganef would, gazlan, whatever it is, depending on the case. In this case, I didn't cause you any loss. I didn't incur any loss to your property. So it could be, ledugma, I borrowed your baseball glove. Do I have to pay you for the use of the baseball glove for 2 hours when I played the game? Assuming I didn't get it all sweaty inside, you know, and disgusting. You know, I didn't spit on it. But these are the shilas, okay? So says the Gemara. So Gemara says, hey, chidami, what case are we talking about? Ilema, if you will tell me, bechotzer delo kaima laagra, vegavra delo ovid lamegar. It is a chotzer, a courtyard, which is... It is lo kaima laagra. Kaya means established, waiting. Laagra, for rent. It's not... I'm not planning on renting out my backyard anytime soon. The gavra, and the person, is lo ovid lamegar. He's not even planning on living there. Let's say ledugma. Ledugma, I was going to spend Shabbos in West Rogers Park. I live in Skokie. So let's say I was going to spend Shabbos in West Rogers Park. I could have easily stayed at someone's house. The Gertzes would have invited me, but I decided, no, I don't need to stay. I could have, but I decided the Shapiros were away for Shabbos. I pitched a tent in their backyard. I stayed there for Shabbos. Were you planning on renting out your backyard?
Depends on what the offer was.
I'm going to speak to Dov about this. He has to know if you're planning on renting out the house. You weren't planning on renting out the house. You went away for Shabbos. No one's renting your backyard. And I wasn't planning on renting. I would have stayed with the Gertzes. So in that case, you didn't lose anything. I didn't gain anything. I just happened to stay in your backyard. The Gemara assumes that it's simple that I'm not obligated to pay.
She lost the right to say no to you.
She has the right.
No, but she didn't say no.
Right, she didn't know. She there. Exactly.
But she lost that ability to say no.
Well, it didn't really matter to her from her perspective.
It wouldn't have mattered had she been there.
Well, that's not necessarily something which you can compensate.
That's the question.
Did
you lose something? She lost that right.
The question is, that right's worth anything.
Exactly. The Gemara wants to know, am I chayv to pay you? Am I chayv to pay? The answer is, did I do the right thing? The answer is no. I'm never allowed to use anybody else's property without asking them. The question is, I did something wrong. Do I have to pay you? Do I have to compensate you?
Is it
that's the question the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara assumes in that case it's pashut. Zelo nene, I didn't benefit. Zelo choser, this participant didn't lose anything. Elo, the Gemara says, what are we talking about? What's the shiloh? Bechotzer de kaima la agra. It's a chotzer, a place which is up for rent. Vegavra, and the person is Ovid Lamegar. Lo aleno, I don't have a place to live. I'm going to sleep in a motel tonight. But instead of sleeping in the motel tonight, I'm going to stay at Rib Sherman. Do you mind? Maybe I'll stay in your house. You're not home. I'll stay in your backyard. So I need a place to stay. And let's say you were in the business of renting out your backyard. So then when people come, I can't stay in your backyard if I'm going to keep away other customers. Then that vacant light, you know, you have in the back of your house, says vacant. I flipped it up. It says no vacancy tonight. So that, Gemara says, is a davar pasha. That's called zenene. I benefited v'zechaser. And this one lost. So in such a case, obviously... You gotta pay. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, what's the shaila? Bechotzer delo kaima laagra. It's a place, a seat, a backyard which is not being rented. Vigavra da ovid lamekar. And the person is looking to rent. I need a place to stay for the night. I would pay. My, what's the din? Motzi amarle, can he say to him, my chasarticha? I didn't incur any loss. What did I make you lose? You were not planning on renting out this anyway. O Dilma, or maybe Motzi Omar, he can say, Ha is Hanis. You benefited from my motel that was being supposed to be rented out. You benefited, you should pay. Mm-hmm. So the Shaila is what we call Ze. This is a Zenene. I benefited, because I was going to rent a hotel room. But Ze lo chaser. You didn't lose anything because you weren't renting out your backyard anyway. Zenene v'zelo chaser. What's the din? Do I have to pay? I benefited, but you didn't lose anything. So the Gemara concludes after a whole discussion. I'll read it to you straight from the Rambam. You don't have your sheets. You don't have it in your sheets. Hador b'chotzer chaveiro, the Rambam in Hilchos Gezeilah v'Aveiro, Perek Gimel Halachates. He says, Ve'im hachotzer asuya l'schar. If that property, no, let's we know that case. Let's talk about im osa hachotzer eino asuya l'schar. It's not going to be rented out. You're not chos, you're not losing anything. Eino tzorech laha'alos lo schar. The psak is, I'm not obligated to pay. So now here we go. Here's our stadium. Let's say Wrigley Field, or even better, the Heliga Soldier Field. I'm a tremendous makam. You go to Soldier Field, there are two types of seats. There are seats which are unsold seats, and there are seats which are sold. So it seemed to me that they fall into two different categories. The seats that are not yet sold, if I move into a seat that's not yet sold, that is kaima la'agra, it's chaser to the owner, and it's, I should pay for it. I'm coming to the stadium, I'm prepared to pay money. I'm looking to buy us to sit in a seat. So in that case, I should be chayev. In the other case, if it's a seat which was sold, the guy's at home with the flu, no one's going to use that seat, and they can't resell it because it's already been sold, then it's amnane, but the stadium, the Bears, lo chaser, they didn't lose. So in that case, I should be punter. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be obligated to pay. I would like to suggest even further. Tosfos says here on Chaf Aleph Aleph, why is it that if your house is being rented, and I want to live in it, let's say I live in it, that I'm obligated to pay you. What did you lose? What you lost, says Tosfos, is the fact that when people pass by and they think, oh, maybe I'll stay here and rent the place here, what do they see?
It's occupied already.
It's occupied. But in the case of the stadium, I ask you, if there's an unsold seat that I'm sitting in, does that deter people from buying the seat?
No. You can always go to the window and get the seat anyway.
Depends on what goes on there.
Why?
What the situation is.
Well, the situation is, the truth is that the people on the outside who are buying the seats, they don't even know what's going on in the seat. They can't see. So I'm not deterring anyone. So I would suggest that even if the seat is unsold down in the box seats, that's lo chaser. My sitting there, that doesn't diminish the stadium's ability to sell the seat again or not. So that should be again, zeh neheneh, I benefit, v'zeh lo chaser, they don't lose anything, so I shouldn't be obligated to pay. Great. It's exactly what the ethicist is saying. Go for it. But not so fast.
But they could have sold.
Well, they could, but it doesn't matter.
But there's the but.
There's a but, yeah. There's a but.
Well, what about the interest of the person who's home with the flu? He owns it, really. I mean, he's...
That's also on him. For him, it's... Is he losing anything? What's he losing?
Conceivably, he might want to rent it to somebody. Call up somebody and say, hey, I got these seats.
Is he going to not do that because I'm sitting in his seats?
No, but he has, but it's his right. He has the...
All right, so I'm saying... He's lo chaser. Lamaisa, he didn't get around to getting the tickets. He didn't call me. If he would have called me, I would have been at Soldier Field. Lamaisa, I would have gone. Who wouldn't go? Free tickets at Soldier Field? Come out. Tremendous.
I would go.
You wouldn't go.
Bad this weather.
We had this chus. I went. My wife and I, she's such an Asian style. We went to a Thursday night game. This is dangerous. It's being recorded all over the place. Who knows where this is going to go? We went to a game. It was mamish tremendous. It was tremendous. It was 24 degrees outside. And my wife, who is from Miami, she came with me to the game. We stayed till 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I had two winter coats on and three pairs of pants and three pairs of socks. It was mamish tremendous. And I came back to school the next day and I said to the boys, I said, you should just know it was a tremendous thing, huge, tremendous mesiris nefesh, important for important things in life. And I said to them, I said, you should just know that there was not one shaila of tznius going to the Chicago Bears. It's mamish. They dress there like they dress in Mea Shearim. The women are so betznius. They not only have their hair covered, their toes covered, everything is covered up. Mamish, it was unbelievable. It was my mahadrin. It was like going to Mea Shearim. The kids are amaisa. The bottom line is that this is a big shiloh. So I would suggest, I want to add, before I go to the butt, I want to add one more interesting fact, which Tos is going to bring in a second. There's a Gemara Bava Basra that says, let's say the two of us are neighbors. The two of us are neighbors. And there's a field that goes up for sale. So let's say we're neighbors. My field is here. Your field is here. And the next field that goes up for sale is that field. So the Gemara Bava Basra calls this what's called the Dina de Bar Mitzra, the neighbor law, which is the following. Who gets first crack to buy that field? The next door neighbor. And the Gemara has a principle called Kofin Almidas Sodom. We force people who act in a Sodom-like behavior, who are spiteful and mean. Because Sodom, people in Sodom, what would they say? They would say, I don't get any benefit, but as long as you don't get anything out of it, I want to hurt you. I don't want you to benefit. So Midas Sodom would dictate is that let's say I want to buy that field. Why don't I want to be there? I could buy any other field. And it's better for you to have that field. So let's say I want to get that field first. The rabbis will say, no, I am not allowed to get first crack at the field. You have to get first crack at the field. And we don't allow me to beat you to the punch. Kofin al Midas Sodom. We stop the... And this is, by the way, not the only instance of such things, where we enforce moral and ethical behavior in a business setting. It's a very important notion, especially in today's turbulent climate in terms of all the unethical behavior that's going on, that the moral compass of halacha dictating kofen al-midas Sodom. You can't, from a legal perspective, act in a way that acts like people of Sodom, that is cruel and insensitive. So now, wait a second. The Gemara has this idea, why don't we say the following? We only say that when it comes to Zeinen and Vizelo Chaser. Why don't we say it's like Kofen Almidas Sodom? I'm Lo Chaser. I'm not renting out my backyard, and you're looking for a place to sleep. So I should be like Sodom and just put you out and say you can't stay there? Isn't that rude? Isn't that like Sodom? That's what Tosis wants to know. Take a look at source number two. Ha'ishanis, you benefited, says Tosfos, afilu l'manda omar beperikama de Baba Basra, even according to the manda omar, the one who says in Baba Basra, kofen oso amidas sedom, v'yavin alei achad mitzra, we force their hand and we give it to the guy who's on his neighbor. Shiny hacha, here it's different. Shahaya yachol l'mon o mitchila milotur beveso. I could have prohibited him, I could have held him off initially from living in my property. Says Tosfos, there's a big but when it comes to Zenen v'zelo chaser. You're right! Zenen v'zelo chaser means I don't have to pay. But it doesn't mean that I have to allow it. You can't come with an entitlement approach and say, look, I have the right to live in your backyard because you're not renting it out. It's lo chaser to you. Tosfos says, I have the right to put a stop to that. I can say no. This line of logic that says, I can say no because it's mine, is articulated beautifully in the back of the Gemara, you don't have it on your sheets, by the Ra'ah, Rabbi Aaron Halevi, who is cited by the Nemuke Yosef, which is a commentary on the Rif. The Nemuke Yosef says the following, essentially the bottom line, which is that the whole notion of Kofa Almidas Sodom is that we do this to adjudicate other pieces of property. But there's no such thing as being Kofa Almidas Sodom on my property. You can't force me to utilize my property. Let's say, for some reason, let's say I was driving home from a wedding and you wanted a ride from the wedding. So even though it would be a nice thing for me to give you the ride, you can't say, oh, Kofen Almidas Sodom, you have to give me the ride. Why? Because the ride is in my car. And basic property rights means that I have the right to decide what I want to do with my property. Now, it might be that I'm not a nice person, but you can't demand, you can't assume the use of my property because it's my property. That's the basic notion of property rights. Hence, the big distinction is that the person has the right to say, I don't want you to use it. You're right, you don't have to pay for it if you do, but the person can say, and if let's say they call you up, they could say to you, don't live in my backyard, it's my property. And that has a very important halachic implication in terms of how to view this case. Therefore, take a look in Source 3 in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hador b'chotzer chaveru, Shalom idaito. If someone lives in somebody else's property without their knowledge, now the Shulchan Aruch adds a very important caveat. Sha'omar lo tzei, that the owner said to him, please go out. V'lo yatsa, and he didn't leave. Chayav liten lo kol scharo. He is obligated to pay. Why? The whole discussion of the Talmud was when the Baal Bais didn't know, so he didn't object. But in the case where the Baal Bais says, go out, he has the right to say, go out. And if you don't go out, then you are obligated to pay. V'im lo amar lo tzei, but if he didn't say anything, im osa chotzer eina asuy l'schar, eina tzorach l'ha'alos lo schar. If that person is not renting out that field, and he didn't tell him to get out, it's hador b'chotzer chaver, shalom idaito, then he is not obligated to pay. But that's the important thing. Did he stay to get out or not? Let's go to the last wide line here. The Ramah, Hagar, Moshe Isserles, Krakow, 17th century. V'davka shekvar darbo, aval lo yuchal l'chufu l'chadchila sheyanichenu lo darbo. That's only if the guy already lived in my house. But he can't tell me a priori he wants to live in my house and he's going to force me. Afal pi de kofen al midas sedom. Even though we say that you're kofen al midas sedom, b'makom shezen enev zelo chaser, in a case where you don't lose anything and I gain, Hani Mili says the Ramah, a new concept. That's bedavar de iboy lehenos. Lo yucha lehenos. In something which there's no benefit to it. The person could rent it out or sell it. He could benefit from it. Then, you don't force him. The Ramah says, you can't force me to give you my property if I could benefit from it. Now, there's an interesting distinction between the explanation of the Ramah that we just gave, that if I could potentially benefit from it, versus the explanation we gave a second ago from the Ra'ah, who said that it's my basic property right. The difference would be, in what case? This one said, the Ramah says, Ramosha Israelis says, it depends on whether I can rent it out or not. The Ra'ah, Rav Aaron Halevi, said, it's my property, I can do whatever I want with it. What would be the difference? Anybody know?
It's just that there is a possibility
of renting it out. So yeah. Let me give an example. The car, the wedding, is a good example. I, personally, Reuven Brand, do not have a livery license in the state of Illinois. So I can't charge you to go from the wedding. So let's say you said to me, please give me a ride, and I said no. According to the Ra'ah, am I allowed to say no?
Yes.
It's my property.
Right.
Whereas according to the Ramah, perhaps I would not, because this is not something that I could use for my monetary benefit anyway. So that would be a distinction between these two approaches. Okay? But the bottom line is, now let's go back to the original question. Wait a second. The stadium says, I want to charge money for this. The stadium says, you're right, we're not losing anything. But what do they say when you buy the ticket? What does the guy in the article say, the representative of the stadium say? What did he say? He said, in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, say, get out! We don't allow it! So the moment that the stadium says we don't allow it, even though you're right, it is a din of Zenen and Zelo Chaser, I'm benefiting and they're not losing, but because it's their property, they have the right to say, get out! L'chadchila a priori, they can say, don't stay there. And therefore, from a halachic perspective, in both, whether the stadium had sold the seat or not, since it's their seat, they own the property, they have the right to make the rules. Yes?
I remember with the assistant, it has a little bit to do with this.
Yeah.
That it was an Orthodox person hired another Jewish person to do piecemeal work. I don't know if it was legal or accounting work. And it had a time limit, and then he called them 3 days before the limit saying it was a Yom Tov, Tuesday and Wednesday. He said, I don't want you to work on Yom Tov because you're working for me, and I don't want you to work on Yom Tov. And the person said, I'm Jewish, but am I obligated to listen to him and work on Yom Tov?
Okay, that's interesting. I have to know more about the details.
So Rabbi Gnat gave the answer.
Okay. Anyway.
But isn't this subject to the machlokas that you just mentioned of the Ra'ah and the Ramah?
So it may be subject to that machlokas, whereas the if it's the Ra'ah, the Ra'ah says, it's my property, I can tell you whatever I want. Right. According to the Ramah, it's only if I can sell it, if I could benefit from it. So if it's a sold ticket, then maybe the Ramah would be makel. However, there is another svara which is important to keep in mind. And that is, I would add two more. One is the notion, and they're kind of related, which is that by definition, this is what I am selling. This is my business. And if that is what I am selling, you can't say, well, I'm just going to enjoy that seat. If the whole seat itself, the enjoyment from that seat, that is the business. For example, so I didn't see this in print, but someone once told me the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Someone said the buses run, the Eged buses run in Israel. So why don't I just say the buses are running anyway. So it's Zenene, I benefit from riding the bus. Zelo Chaser, they don't lose, they're running the bus anyway. So I heard in the name of Shlomo Zalman, you can't say Zenene Vzelo Chaser. That's good for the business. That's the whole point. That's what they're selling. And therefore, you can't claim Zenene Vzelo Chaser if this is what they are selling. I want to sharpen it maybe in a little bit more of a legal sense to a different but basically the same principle, which is on the last page of your handout, which is called the free rider conduct. This is, some of this came from a piece, a teacher of mine by Rabbi Aaron Levine from YU. He's a professor of economics and a Rav in Brooklyn, a wonderful person. So he quotes this whole issue in halacha called the free rider conduct. The destructive effects of the free rider conduct. So much so in the following idea. He quotes here at the beginning of Tshuva and the Marami Rutenberg, and there are other discussions about this. Let's say someone says, you know, in the city, we have to build roads, or we have to build wells and main things. So said the Maharam Rutenberg, you can force people to do that. Why? Because otherwise everybody's going to say, me? I don't need it. I don't need it. And everyone's going to say, I don't need it, I don't need it. It's never going to get built. This is a major issue when it comes up, I guess, and again, I'm not talking halacha l'maisa. This is a big issue in communities on communal projects. So let's say you're going to build a mikvah. You're going to build a mikvah, and they come around, the mikvah association comes to collect money, and you say, let's say you say, look, I don't need it. I don't need it. And then when it comes time that you do need the mikvah, you say, look, they already built it. Zen and Vizel Lo Chaser. They're not losing anything by my using the mikvah. So wait a second. If every single person in the community says, look, I don't need it, then it's not going to get built. It's not going to get built. So much so, listen to this tshuva that he quotes on the bottom. Unbelievable, from the Chavos Yoyer. Look at the halfway down the first column. You see where it says Rabbi Yair Bachrach, Germany, 1638. They had the following shaila. A community, they used to hire a shofar blower for Rosh Hashanah. It once happened that hostilities broke out in the surrounding area. You see where I am? About 10 lines up?
Yeah.
With the result that the shofar blower demanded a hefty raise for his services. The wealthier elements of the town, consisting of six householders, proposed that an additional tax be levied on every household to cover the extra expense. The poorer elements, consisting of seven householders, balked at the proposition, claiming that they could not afford to pay any additional assessment to cover the raise. As a means of inducing the recalcitrant elements to join in the project, the sponsors threatened to exclude from the mitzvah of hearing the shofar all those who refused to pay their fair share of the expense. This would be accomplished, how would they do this? By having the Baal Tokea, the person blowing the shofar, have kavana not to be motzei the people who didn't pay. Is that permitted?
That borders on rishus. That's their stone. Depriving a person of a mitzvah because of money?
That was the shaila. So took a look at the top of the second page. In his ruling, Rabbi Bachrach averred that coercion would be in order only when the additional assessment would not generate a deprivation effect on the majority of the townspeople. Here, Majority sponsorship forces everyone to financially participate on an ability-to-pay basis. However, when the additional assessment generates a deprivation effect on the majority of householders, those who refuse to join cannot be forced to participate. In the case at hand, the majority of the householders claim that they could not afford the additional assessment. If their claim is true, the six sponsors cannot force the recalcitrant to participate. However, even though that's the case, halacha lemaisa, but if it were not the case, let's say it were the opposite, that the majority felt that it was important to pay, and the people who were poor were able to pay whatever fair share was appropriate for them, and they decided they did not want to increase and impair that fair share, it would be okay to exclude them from the mitzvah. Why? Because it's the same free rider conduct principle, that if these guys can be yotzi the mitzvah without paying, everybody's going to say, why should I pay? I'll just be yotzi the mitzvah anyway. The guy's going to blow. And what's going to happen? They're not going to have any money. So therefore, by definition, whenever it comes to communal projects, whenever it comes to things that are working as a collaboration, you can't say, I'll be the free rider. I'll get a free ride on the bus. It's basically the halachic underpinnings of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's argument. If everybody says, I'll ride the bus for free, then the bus won't have enough money to keep riding. Exactly.
But he's saying that they're the majority.
But he also points out that it has to be a reasonable amount, ability to pay. But the point is that, obviously, everything is within reason, but I think the analogy to the mikvah is a very good analogy, or to a shul. The shul says, our shul is falling apart, we need to build a new shul. You're a member of the shul, but you say, look, okay, I don't need them to put up a new shul. If everybody in the whole shul says they don't need them to put up a new shul, they won't have a new shul. There's no such thing as a free rider conduct that you say, look, I'll be happy to benefit when they put up that new shul. I love my nice cushioned seat, but I'm not going to pay for it because they'll build it anyway. When it comes to communal projects, that's a free rider conduct. So too here. If every person in the stadium was allowed to move from their cheap seat to their expensive seat, so what would happen? Exactly. Nobody would buy the expensive seats, very few people. Everybody would buy the cheap seats, and they would all move down. And the free rider effect would cause a financial loss to the stadium. So whether it's because of the fact the stadium says no, or because of the free rider conduct, therefore, from a halachic perspective, it would not be permitted to move from the cheap seats to the expensive seats. One caveat. So I'm sorry to disagree. And again, halacha lemaisa, we always say, gotta ask your rabbi. So if you have this shaila come up for you, gotta ask your rabbi. But it seems to me that it's pretty clear cut that it is going to be prohibited. When would it be permitted? In the following case. Let's say I bought two tickets. The two tickets are three seats away from each other, and there's nobody sitting between us. So I say to the usher, who is the stadium representative, I say to the usher of my section, do you mind if I move over to sit next to my wife instead of sitting three seats away? It's much less romantic when we sit three, and it's like, you know, you can't even talk. There's no date going on there if you can't even hear each other over the din of the stadium. And the usher says, no problem, that's within reason, then it would be permitted. Or let's say, I'll give you another example. Let's say it's the eighth inning, the Cubs are losing 45-0. The entire stadium is emptied out. Nobody cares anymore. It's the eighth inning. There's only 10 minutes to go. And the usher says, no problem, you can move down. In such a case, it will then become mutter. Because the whole rationale that it's also is because the stadium is makbid and it's their property and they have the right to be makbid. But the minute that the stadium is not makbid anymore, you can do it. And therefore, and again, who decides that? I assume that it's the ushers who decide that, because they're the ones who are empowered to keep an eye on. They represent the owner in terms of keeping order in the seats. Another interesting thing that you may want to keep in mind, and with this we'll close, just again, another wrinkle for thought, there may be a distinction between seats in the same section that cost the same amount of money and seats in different sections. It could be that the stadium doesn't care. If I bought a $10 seat and I move from row A to row J, but they're both $10 seats, Mustama, in that case, the stadium doesn't care. Again, you got to check with the stadium, but Mustama, they don't care. As opposed to if I'm moving from my $5 seat to my $500 seat. So again, just to wrap it up, the notion is that in Jewish law, my property, whether it's according to the limited approach of the Ramah, which is that since I can rent it out or sell it, but according to the more expanded version of Tosfos and of the Ra'ah, which is based on kind of what the Shulchan Aruch is getting at, that if you ask me, if I tell you beforehand you can't use it, I can stop you a priori because my property is mine and I'm the right, the one who makes the rules. And therefore, the arguments of the ethicists are really spurious. To say that the stadium owns the stadium, but, well, there's no other major league game to play in, so I have a right to dictate. No. It's voluntary, and it's their stadium, so they have the right to make the rules. Once they do that, if they say, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, if they say tsay, you have to leave, you have to abide by their rules.
If they don't say tsay, because I've never seen an usher chase people out of the stadium.
Oh, yes. You haven't been to a lot of games. Again. You've seen it. And by the way, so a part of the thing is, you know, they don't have to even say it. First of all, it says on the ticket. It says in the ticket that you have to abide by all the stadium policies. So by definition, when you buy the ticket, you have to abide by their rules, which say don't move. And also, why do you think it is when the people go, what do? You wait for the usher to look that way. You run like a maniac. You put on a mask, change your clothing, and then you're sitting in the seat. You know, like, yeah.
Who else can act as a representative, though? Because I know people that hold seats in box office tickets. I mean, they go... families, generation to generation, and they all know each other, that, you know, they all sit near each other. So if somebody wasn't there because they were ill, but it's their family friend after all these years, and then they see people sneaking down and sitting in those seats, are they allowed to say, hey, but these aren't your seats, get out?
That's an interesting question. Assumably, A, the people who move down are not allowed to be sitting there, so you're raising the question, well, who can enforce the Zene and the Vezeh Lo Chaser? That's a good question.
Or a neighbor who their neighbor's out of town, they see someone setting up a tent in their backyard, and their neighbor said, hey, if you see anything fishy going on, please call
the police. Oh,
so in that case, exactly, what Sherman's saying, pointing out, is that they are an agent. If you say to your neighbor, keep an eye on my house, then they have the right, they are a proxy, essentially, and they can kick people out. The earlier question is maybe a more nuanced question, which is that, you know, I'm just sitting in my box, I'm not appointed by the stadium to be the police on what goes on in the next box.
But that's the other scenario where the owner of the seat, in other words, the renter of the seat, he actually has an ownership interest, and he would have a right to kick somebody out.
Yeah, but
they'd be his shlichim.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be. It's not so clear. Are they automatically his shlichim? Usually, we say zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav, that you can benefit somebody without their being there. So let's say if there's $1 million. That you would love to get $1 million, and it's sitting on right outside your front lawn. I could push it into your house. You would want $1 million, right? No problem. So I could push it into your house and be mizake to you. Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav, even though you're not aware of it. So maybe in this case, you would say zochin la'adam. I don't want people sitting in my seat. On the other hand, like, who cares if I'm not there? Do I really care? Someone else had a question before we wrap it up.
Well, this occurs in many of our functions. The tier of seats, any place, right?
Yes.
And then people actually will come down,
yes.
You know, and unfortunately, the people who will. But what those seats happen to come in.
Exactly. And then it makes them, it's true. And they're mocked, they're uncomfortable having to keep them out of their seats. Yeah, Shakoyach, everyone.
It's a symphony.